So last week, for those of you who weren't here, we started just a little message on what I titled Limitless Life. And we just kind of looked at this idea that we've all been given an invitation from God to come and attend a feast. And that feast is all the blessings and goodness and power of heaven. We've been given this invite. Each and every one of us have been given this invite, and we might accept it, we might reject it, but if we accept it, then the important thing is that we actually show up, isn't it? We need to show up to the banquet. We need to actually grab hold of this feast that's been laid on in front of us. And actually, when we do that, we then realize and we grasp hold of the authority and the power of heaven. And through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, we have access to all of that. We don't need to question ourselves or doubt if we're good enough. We don't need to think that it's for someone else and not for us. We have access to the full power and authority of heaven. And I really drilled that message in last week. I probably repeated myself a lot of times just to really get that message home. But if you weren't here, I encourage you, get online and have a listen. Because, you know, I really believe that the atmosphere shifted last week. Something really changed, and the Holy Spirit came in a tangible way, and I think strongholds were broken, and we've heard testimonies of healings last week. You know, God was doing something powerful last week. So I want to just kind of continue a little bit in that message and just kind of maybe push in a little bit deeper and see what God can do this week through this idea of limitless life. So why don't we just pray quickly, and then we'll jump in. Father God, we just thank you that you are incredibly good to us. We just thank you for all the power and authority and blessings of heaven that you have provided for us, and that you say, they're here, just come and help yourself to it. So Lord God, I just pray that we'll believe within our hearts and within our spirits that we are valuable enough to you, that we are important enough to you, no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstances, that we can grasp hold of that truth. And we can begin to walk in it, and we can begin to live in it. So as we dive into the word this morning, God, I just pray that you'll help us to lean in, and that we'll hear from you, and you'll speak directly into our spirits, that we will leave this place changed and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we were created in the image of God. We were created in his image. And something was broken in the Garden of Eden, but then when Jesus came back, he restored that brokenness that meant that we were whole again. That in him and through his spirit, we were whole. And that we can have that fullness of God through his spirit living within us. And that means that we can break off the limitations of this world. And we can break off the limitations of things that have gone before us. And we can break off the limitations of things that have been spoken over us and begin to believe the truth that God is with us, that his Holy Spirit is alive and well, living within us, and then that we can walk in that power and in that authority. So I just want to read to you this morning from Colossians chapter 2. It's going to come up on the screen. It says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him." Now, yesterday, a few of us were over at Life Church on the Wirral, and Ray Bevan, who we know, was speaking there, and he was talking about being planted and being rooted in God's goodness and being rooted in the good soil that can help us to grow and to be devoted to the house. So it was great encouragement for me when I heard that after having written this, that, you know, we're on the right track. "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For Christ lives. All the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Christ lives in fullness, and that fullness is alive within us in the Spirit. Now, when I read this portion of scripture, I often go to films. You're going to notice that a lot about me. I often go to movies. I love movies. And this one in particular brought my mind to The Matrix. Anyone seen The Matrix? It's one of my all-time favorite films ever. Do not say a bad word about it. It's incredible. And actually, if you're a geek like me, you can look at the story of The Matrix and you can just see the gospel. It runs throughout the whole thing. I don't know whether that was intentional or not, but it really is the whole thing. And well, obviously it's sci-fi, so it's a little bit crazy, but you know, there's definitely a gospel message that runs through that, intentional or not. And I'm reading this portion of scripture, and it reminds me of a scene from this film. And so for those of you who haven't seen it, the idea, the concept is that the human world that we know and live in, this world right here, is actually just a cloak. It's not real. And actually, we're just plugged into the Matrix, and that's where we're living. It's very complicated. And actually, if you're free from the Matrix, this world that we live in, that you realize that there's this whole other world. And in that world, there are no limitations like there are within the world we live in. And so I'm reading this portion of scripture and it says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and spiritual powers from this world. And I'm reading that thinking of this scene where Neo, the main guy, has been released from the Matrix and brought into the real world, and he's being put in this training program. And his mentor, Morpheus, talks to him and he says, we're going to fight. And now, if you're released from the bondage of what you've known within the Matrix, you can do incredible things, and you can move at incredible speeds, and you can jump higher than you could ever imagine, and you can, I don't know, when they're punching, it's like, it's so fast you can't even see their hands moving. It's incredible. And so they're having this fight, and he's slowly realizing that actually the kind of constraints of the world aren't with him, but he's not quite grasped it properly. And after this quick fight, he's kind of like, and Morpheus says, do you think that's air you're breathing? He's like, what? It's not. He doesn't need air, because that's just a constraint of the world. He doesn't even need that. He's just like doing it because it's habit. He's doing it because that's what he's known. And so he gets up and they fight again and he gets faster and faster. And then they move on to this next scene called the jump. And he's on top of this building and it's huge. And then there's this other building that's way too far away for any man to jump. And Morpheus is like, free your mind and make the jump. And then he goes and does this jump and he's like, poof. He's flying in the air and it's incredible. And then Neo stood on this thing going, no way, no chance can I do that. Because he's looking at it through his human mind. He's looking at it through the constraints and the limitations of everything that he's ever known. And he's looking at this physical impossibility saying, there's no way I can do this. And so he stands there and he has a bit of a run-up lined up. Free my mind. Free my mind. And then he runs and he takes this giant leap and you can see kind of this glimmer of hope in his eye. And then he realizes that there's actually no way he's ever going to make this, and he just starts to plummet down to the ground. But it's not real, so he doesn't die. But he realizes actually throughout the process of this film that he doesn't need to live within these limitations of the world, because actually he's been freed from that. And that's what we've been talking about last week, and we're going to look at this week, that actually we've been freed from the limitations of this world. Now, I'm not saying that you can stand on top of a giant building and leap an inhuman distance. Do not try that and blame me. But what I'm saying is that we can live beyond what we know, because we have access to the full power and authority of heaven. So we can look at impossible situations. We can look at situations where the human world, the human realm, would tell us there is absolutely no way you can get through this. But through the power of God living within us, we can get through it. Because the world tells us one thing, but the Spirit tells us something else. And when we grasp hold of this truth that we no longer need to live by the limitations of the world, we can be free to walk and live in the Spirit. You know, the world says, give up. When you're facing a difficult situation, the world says, give up. But the Spirit says, with just a little faith, With just a little faith, you can move mountains. The world says that we should mourn, but the Spirit says we have hope. The world says you're not good enough, but the Spirit says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The world tells us one thing, but the Spirit says something completely different. And it's that we need to grasp hold of. And when we start to really grasp hold of this, the truth of the Spirit, and break off the limitations of the world, we can really start to live in the fullness of God that the Bible talks about. Don't get caught up on these empty philosophies. I love that phrase, the high-sounding nonsense that comes from the world. That's brilliant. I realize it's probably just a paraphrase rather than actual translation from the original text, but it's brilliant. Ignore the nonsense that comes from the world. Ignore those little voices that say, you're not good enough. You can't do this. There's no hope for you. And listen to the true sound, the true voice of the Spirit that says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We've been given this invitation to come and feast at the table of the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Let's show up. Free your mind. Free your mind. You know, I don't know what God wants you to do in your life. I don't know what you've been called to do by God. But let me tell you this. If you can do it in your own strength, then it's not what God's got planned for you. If you're looking at this situation and the jumps like this, and you're like, okay, this is what I've been called to do. Can I do it? Yes, I made it. That's not what God's called you to do. Put this back so I don't fall down. God's called you to jump from here to the other side of the room. There's no way we can do that. But with God, we can. With God, we have the power and authority to do things that seem impossible. You can try all you want in your own strength, but you're not going to get very far in God's call on your life, because we need him in order to succeed. We need God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives in order to see the plans and purposes fulfilled. So let's walk in this truth. Let's walk in this truth. Look at this in the feeding of the 5,000. In John's account, it says that Jesus turned to Philip. I'm out of breath now. Hey, you didn't sign a little run. What's that about? Hey, it's not air I'm breathing. Oh my gosh. Whew. Okay. Jesus turned to Philip and he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He's looking at 5,000 men and women and children as well. Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? But he was testing Philip because he knew exactly what he was going to do. And Philip replied to him, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. We wouldn't have enough money to feed them, even if we worked for months. Now, Philip had seen Jesus firsthand performing incredible miracles and healings and doing all these incredible signs and wonders. He'd seen it with his own eyes. And yet he's faced with this situation that seems in the human to be impossible. And so he tries to think of a rational solution to this problem. Well, there's people here and they need feeding, so we're going to have to buy some food, because that's how you feed people. But in order to feed this many people, we're going to have to work for a whole long time, and even then it might be a struggle. And that's what his brain is doing. He looked at this problem and for some reason he thought it was too big for Jesus. But of course we know that Jesus took an offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then he used that to feed all of the people with plenty left over. But I don't understand how Philip's faith can have been so small. After having seen what he's seen, how can he not believe that Jesus could overcome this problem that they were facing? But I think that actually it's kind of reflective of us. It's reflective, well, I don't know about you, it's definitely reflective of me, that actually we can see the blessings and we can see the goodness and we can see the power of God actually at work in our own lives. And then we're faced with something new. We're faced with something else. And we don't go to God automatically. Or we doubt that he can do it. Something in us, something from the world, something from our past, something from what we've known before, makes us doubt and question whether God can come through for us in this new situation. I know that he's done all this amazing stuff in the past, but now I've got this situation and it seems impossible. So we start to think of our own solutions. What can I do in my strength to get through this situation? We're exactly like Philip. We know what God can do. We know what he's capable of. And yet for some reason, sometimes when we're faced with situations, all that just goes from our minds. We just forget it almost and try to do things in our own way. You know, God is sufficient for every need that we have. No matter how impossible the circumstances, God is sufficient. Sufficient's a funny word, isn't it? It sounds kind of weak. It sounds underwhelming, doesn't it? Sufficient. But actually, what it means is enough. It means enough. It means to meet the need. God is sufficient. No matter how big our situation, God is sufficient. No matter how big our circumstance may be, God is sufficient. He is enough. If you just need this small thing, he's enough. If you need this ginormous thing, he's enough. God is sufficient for whatever it is that we need. And yet we place limits on God, don't we? We place these limits on him. We put him inside a box almost. And it's not intentional. I don't think that we do it intentionally, but we do. We kind of box God in and say, okay, if I'm facing this, I'll go to God. If I'm facing this, I can probably sort it. If I'm facing this, definitely don't need any help. We place these limitations on God and say, if it's this, then absolutely no way can anything happen. But God is infinitely powerful. Infinitely powerful. He exists outside of space and time. He's infinitely perfect in his goodness and his love and his knowledge and his wisdom and his holiness. He is infinitely powerful. Whatever we can think, he is more than that. So we say that God is sufficient, but actually he's sufficient for anything. Whatever situation you can envisage, you can imagine, you can think of, no matter how big it is, God is sufficient. He can fill that void. He can sort that situation. He can resolve that problem. He can bring restoration. He has no beginning. He has no end. Absolutely nothing is impossible for him. So whatever problem you're facing, whatever situation you find yourselves in this morning, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, there's just no way. You're standing on that building and you're looking at the distance going, there's just no way. God is enough to get you from here to there. He's enough. He's enough. He's bigger than all of that. Are there any Grey's Anatomy fans in the house? I love Grey's Anatomy. It's a doctor, it's kind of a hospital-based drama from America. It's brilliant. We've plowed through all 13 seasons. It's the longest running hospital drama in the world, I'll have you know. And we just came to the end of what's currently on Amazon. It made me sad. We've got no more to watch. But I love Grey's Anatomy. And the surgeons within this TV show have their little routines that they do before they perform surgery. So Derek would stand there and he would say, it's a beautiful day to save lives. Let's have some fun. And then off he goes, cutting people open and doing what he does. And then there's a Dr. Bailey. She would just pause for a minute and she would pray and everyone would respect that and they would close their eyes and wait until she was done and then they'd crack on. But there's the surgeon I find the most intriguing. She's called Amelia Shepherd. She's a neurosurgeon. She works on the brain. And her routine, in fact, let's all do this. So why don't you stand to your feet with me for a second? Just stand to your feet if you're able. And what I want you to do is place your feet just slightly wider than shoulder width apart. Put your hands on your hips. Stick your chests out and look up like you're some kind of superhero. And we're just going to stand here for about 5 minutes. I'm not going to make you stand here. Let's just stand here for a little while. And actually, the funny, don't drop it. Just keep there. You have to hold it. And while they're standing there for this, it gives them this understanding that they are powerful, that they can do anything. And it makes you feel something within that I can do this. You can take your seats. The funny thing is that actually there was a Harvard study, believe it or not, done into this theory that striking the superhero pose would have a positive impact when you were facing social situations. Someone actually studied the superhero pose and its benefits, and it was proved beneficial. Unlike the nonsense from last week about using 10% of our brains, this thing is real. So I challenge you, next time you're facing a situation, you just strike that pose and just hold it. Oh yeah, this is good. Do you know, it's incredible to think that something like that can enhance your performance. So, you know, this posture, it might enhance your performance when you're, you know, you've got a presentation to do, or you're going into a job interview, or you've got an important meeting. This superhero posture might help to enhance you in that situation. But actually, there's another posture that can help to enhance your life across the board. And that's a posture of prayer. It's a posture of prayer. The Bible tells us to pray, doesn't it? In fact, it says to pray without ceasing. You know, Paul got this revelation that we've been talking about this past couple of weeks about the fullness of God and the authority of heaven when you live in the plans and purposes of God. And do you know where that understanding and that revelation led him? It led him to prayer. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. When I think of all this, he says, and that's about the blessings and the power and the authority of heaven. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, beyond anything we could ever need, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down. There's those roots again. It's obviously important. We'll come back to them in a few weeks, I think. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. It's too great. We can't ever understand how vast it is. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. There's that revelation. When we grasp hold of that truth, we have the fullness and life of life and power that comes from God dwelling within us. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work with us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Amen. How incredible is that? That actually understanding this truth, understanding all that God has to offer for us, understanding the power of what it means to have the Holy Spirit living within us, brought him to a posture of prayer. He fell down to his knees. I just can't believe how good you are. I can't believe how incredible this is. I can't believe all that you are giving and blessing me with in order to do what you've called me to do. He's just so thankful. And it sustains him. And I love what he prays, that actually he's praying that out of God's glorious and unlimited resources, it's unlimited. That's what we've been saying, that there's just nothing that he can't do. And it comes from a place of being rooted and grounded in God. And that's the importance of, the importance of coming to church. It's the importance of reading your Bible daily and praying daily. It's the importance of having communion and friendship with other Christians so that we can discuss these things and be encouraged by one another and build up faith when we're rooted and grounded in Him. And then we'll understand the fullness of life and power. The fullness of life and power. And then out of that understanding, out of that grounding, out of those roots being dug down, when we pray to God knowing all of that. And then it should just pour out of us, shouldn't it? Just the thankfulness and the just awe and wonder of all that God can do and has done and will do for us, because we've grasped hold of this truth that He has unlimited power, and through His Spirit we have that living within us. So when we pray, let's pray bold prayers. When we pray, let's pray bigger than we ever have before, believing these truths that our God can do infinitely more than we could ask for. How big's your ask this morning? What is it that you're asking God for? Is it big enough? You know, maybe you're looking at your request to God. You're thinking, God's called me to do this, but I need this to get from here to there. Is what you're asking God for big enough? Because He is infinitely bigger and greater than anything we could ever ask for. So let's ask for more. Why not? Ask for more. What are you dreaming for this morning? What are you dreaming for? Are you dreaming that you can set up your own business? Are you dreaming that you can start a family? Are you dreaming of going on mission to Africa? Are you dreaming of seeing your whole family saved? What is it that we're dreaming for? Can we dream bigger? Can we dream bigger dreams? Because God can help us fulfill those dreams, because He is infinitely more powerful than we can ask or imagine. What is it we're dreaming for? You know, when we assume this posture of prayer, it can fill us with that power and authority of God. When we assume a posture of prayer, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we really seek first the kingdom of God, when we look to the author and perfecter of our faith, we can trust Him to fulfill our every need. We can truly believe through that posture of prayer that He is sufficient. He is sufficient for whatever it is that we need. And if we want to see God's power manifest in our lives today, we need to assume that posture of prayer. But that posture of prayer needs to be coupled with something else, and that something else is a limitless faith. So we need to assume this posture of prayer and fix our eyes on God and keep focused on Him and keep seeking Him. But then we need to couple that with something within ourselves, an intentionality that believes that we can break off the limits of this world. It's a limitless faith. You know, there's so much in Scripture, isn't there, that should build our faith. That as we read this book that God's given us, as we read through these pages, we should be built up and encouraged to just grow bigger in our faith. And when we hear testimonies like those of this morning, that they help to build our faith, and they begin to break off those limits, because we hear that things are happening that we didn't think humanly possible. And the shackles start to break off and the chains start to fall to the ground, and we can believe for bigger. We can dream for better. We can start to have this faith that isn't constrained by the limitations of the world. You know, Roman tells us that with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we can have life. That means that we're heirs with Christ. It means that we have access to the fullness of heaven. And in fact, it goes on, doesn't it, to say that we are more than conquerors. That in Christ, we're more than conquerors. And that means that whatever situation we're facing, we don't need to be worried. We don't need to be concerned. We don't need to fear for that, because we are more than conquerors in Christ. We can defeat it. We can defeat whatever it is that we're facing. We have the power of the living God right here in our spirits. He's alive within us and he's moving. Whether you see him move or not, whether you feel him move or not, he is moving. God is not a static God. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive. He is living. He is moving. He is working today, right here. It's true. We just need to start living like it's true. We just need to start living like it's true. We know this stuff. What I'm speaking isn't really new information, is it? It's stuff that we know. But we just need to start living like it's true. You know, there's an incredible example of faith in the Gospels, and it's in Matthew. And it's when a centurion approaches Jesus and asks for some help. He asks for some healing. And it says this. This centurion says, "Lord, my servant is paralyzed at home and suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "I'll come and I'll heal him." But the centurion replied, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." And then in verse 13, the centurion says, and then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you as you've believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. This centurion showed a faith that made Jesus marvel. If only we could live a life of faith that made Jesus marvel. What is it we're believing for this morning? What is it we're dreaming for this morning? What is on our prayer list? What is it that we're asking of him? Let's ask for more. Let's believe for bigger. Let's dream for better. But let's do that from a place of limitless faith, where we actually believe that we can jump from here to there in the fullness of God. Because we're not bound by the constraints of this world anymore. We're free from all of that, and we can actually live in the fullness of God that can see actual mountains moved, that can see human feet walk on water, that can see dead people come to life. Let's believe and have faith that these things are true and not just fairy tales written down in a book. When we break off those chains and those limits and those constraints, we can begin to have a faith that marvels. That's the kind of faith I want to live. A faith with no hindrance of doubt. A faith with no hesitation. A faith that doesn't second guess what's going on. Just pure, unwavering belief that God is who he says he is. And what does God say he is? He says, "I am all knowing, all loving, all present, all powerful. And I live within you who call yourselves my sons and daughters. I am alive and living within you, so you have that power and authority." Let's live that kind of faith. In Kings, there's another great story of Elijah. And there's been this famine, this drought for 3.5 years. And Elijah is just praying to God, and he's saying, "God, let's see the rains come." And he speaks out to the king. He speaks out to him and says, "Go and enjoy your food, because I hear the rains coming." In fact, let me get it right. He says, "I hear an abundance of rain." Elijah sees this problem. It's a problem with nature and creation. It's not something that man can ever get involved in. And yet he has this faith to speak out this prophecy to the king, to say, go and enjoy your food because I hear an abundance of rain. Not a little bit, an abundance. One translation says, I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Elijah had the faith to believe that God would come through. And not just with a sprinkling of rain, but an abundance of rain. He had this faith that was blown wide open. God's not just going to bring a little shower and ease things for a bit. He's going to bring an abundance of rain to solve this situation. Not a puddle, but an ocean of God's blessing. You know, I love that phrase, go big or go home. Well, that's where Elijah was going with this prophecy. He was speaking out to the king, and he said, I can hear an abundance of rain. He was believing big. He was believing that God was going to go above and beyond what it was that they needed. He wasn't weak in his faith. He wasn't thin in his faith. He wasn't limited in his faith. His faith was fat. His faith was a faith without limits. He was believing God for abundance. And after he spoke out this word of prophecy to the king, he then climbed Mount Carmel and began to pray. He had this limitless faith to be able to believe that God would come through in his situation. But then he knew what came next, a posture of prayer. So he assumed that posture of prayer. And he believed that God could do incredibly more than he was asking for or speaking out. And of course, God came through. And the rains came. Let's have the faith to see breakthrough. Let's have the faith to see restoration in those areas at the start of the year that we wrote down. Let's have the faith to believe for bigger. Let's break off those chains, those constraints of the world. Let's forget what we've known before. Let's forget the situations that didn't work out as we expected. Let's forget what people tell us about us not being good enough or big enough or strong enough or fast enough. And let's have the faith to believe that God can come through. Let's have the faith to see our extraordinary become our ordinary. Our extraordinary to become our ordinary. To believe that God's power can flow through us today. Not next week or next month or next year, but today. God, today, let your Holy Spirit power flow through us. Right now. Right now. What is it you're asking for this morning? What is it you're believing of God for this morning? Why don't we just close our eyes for a second and just think on those things? What is it that you wrote down at the start of the year? What is it you're believing for restoration in? And let's ask for bigger. Do you know, if you've got a friend in mind that you want to see saved for God, then why not ask for their whole family to be saved? If you're praying for a specific area of healing in your body, but actually you're riddled with something, why not ask for everything? But not only to be healed, but to be stronger and brighter and bolder than you ever have been before. Let's ask God for more. And let's have this limitless faith to believe that he can come through. I don't know about you, but all this sounds really awesome. All this sounds to me like I want some of that. God, I want some of that. But perhaps you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, yeah, it's okay for him to stand there and to speak it out. And I'm sure it'll work for him, but it's not for me. God's not come through for me like that in the past. So I don't think he's going to come through for me today. You know, I get it. I get it because sometimes life is incredibly cruel. You know, it can seem like nothing is going your way. It can seem like the world is against you. It can seem like every door you push on is closed. It can seem like every avenue that you pursue comes to a dead end. Nothing seems to go right, no matter what it is that you do, no matter how hard it is that you pray. You know, perhaps you're facing financial difficulties, or you've got a serious health problem, or you're just not satisfied in your job, and you just feel like you don't have the strength to fight anymore. Whatever it is that you're feeling like this morning, listen to this encouragement from James. It says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power with you to endure all things. And then your endurance grows stronger and it releases perfection into every part of your being until there's nothing missing, that nothing is lacking anymore. Consider your suffering the greatest joy." I don't know about you, but when I read that statement, it makes me cringe. It makes me think, no way am I going to experience suffering and consider it joy. How can that be? How can that be? It's a statement that's easier said than done, isn't it? But this verse reminds me of those situations that you hear about people in grave danger getting this rush of adrenaline that allows them to do things that seem impossible. Have you read those stories about, you know, a family in a car crash and the child's trapped underneath the car, and then the mother suddenly gets a rush of adrenaline and can lift up the car, no matter how impossible that may seem, to release the child. You know, that's what this is like, because we might be facing incredible difficulties. We might be facing incredible circumstances, but allow that situation and that circumstance and that feeling of loss and of despair to actually fill you with an adrenaline rush from the Holy Spirit, to give you the power and the confidence to get through whatever it is that you're facing. We need to believe that in our lives, that no matter what we're facing, when it seems like everything has come against us, assume that posture of prayer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Assume that posture of prayer and let's shake off the limitations of the past. Let's let those chains and shackles fall to the ground and believe for a release of supernatural strength to get through. Let me just say one more thing and then I'm going to close. We're going to sing. God is all powerful. And I've repeated it over and over again these past couple of weeks, but we have access to the full authority and power of heaven. But hear this, we don't need that power if we're not living to God's purpose. We can be asking for God's strength and God's breakthrough in a situation, but if that's not in line with his plan and his purpose, we don't need it. So that's why these two things need to be coupled. That we need to partner a limitless faith with a posture of prayer, because when we seek God's face, when we fix our eyes on him, when we do that daily and we walk with him, we begin to get in tune with God. And when you're in tune with God, you get a greater understanding of the purpose that he has put on your life. And then out of that, we can begin to believe for the power and authority that we need to walk in that. We don't need the power if we're not living in his purpose. We can have everything that we need. We can have all the blessings of God, but if we're not living to the purpose of him, we don't need it. It's pointless. It's for nothing. So remember, we need to assume that posture of prayer. We need to fix our eyes on God. And then we need to partner that with a limitless faith. One that forgets everything that's gone, forgets everything we've been through, ignores what the world says us, ignores what the world is telling us about what is possible and what is not possible, and believe God for greater. So Lord God, I just pray for breakthrough this morning. We fix our eyes firmly on heaven and just say, Lord God, we thank you that you're with us. Speak to us now, this morning. Speak to our hearts. Lord God, show us the purposes that you've got for our lives. Show us where it is that you're moving in our lives, in our field of influence, in our circle of friends. Show us where it is that you're moving so that we can walk in that. Lord God, we're just fixed on you. Our eyes are just fixed firmly on you, and we're believing that as we do that, we can believe for bigger, we can dream for better, we can ask for more. And Lord God, with that boldness, with that faith that makes you marvel, we believe for breakthrough, we believe for restoration, we believe for healing, we believe for salvations. In Jesus' name.